Okay, I gotta ask you, how did a guy with a design degree from the UK end up in Sydney, Australia, developing this tech platform that's highly involved technically?
So I moved here because I like surfing and I like sun, and the UK doesn't really have that.
You don't have those.
But it has surfing, but I used to surf off Scotland. I remember the one day it was hailing and snowing, and I just thought, stuff this.
Yeah, so you ended up in Sydney in, what, 2013?
2011, 2010. Yeah, end of 2010, start of 2011. Came, did an MBA to get a visa. Australia is not a big product design place. Well, that's light. It wasn't back in the day. There wasn't Kickstarter, really. All Kickstarter was just getting started. Manufacturing, like, because Australia is such a small country, that hadn't been a big industry traditionally. Whereas in the UK, it's big because if you manufacture, you're selling kind of to the whole of Europe and globally. States is massive. Here, it just wasn't. And, you know, I think that, you know, Atlassian was there, but behind the scenes, Canva didn't exist. Like, we didn't really have any unicorns, but it was just kind of starting up. And so just by going out and meeting people, I just kind of fell into the industry, as you do. Like building your product online versus building your product offline is the same process. Like, you're coming up with a need, you're researching it, you're talking to customers, you're starting to build, you know, a prototype, you're fundraising to either, you know, manufacture or to build a tech like MVP. You're then hiring team, you're then building your brand. It's the same thing again. The only difference is you don't get to touch me and tangibly hold it. Probably the biggest difference maybe is that when you design products, you're designing, when you reiterate, you're releasing new products each year. Whereas when you iterate on a tech platform, you're generally expanding that platform. So you're building one monster product over 10 years versus building 10 separate products. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does. So all the things you learned as a student, you're actually applying, but in a slightly modified way to create the product that is Bonjoro.
Yeah. Although I haven't been on a lathe for like 20 years, for like 15 years. I don't know if I'll ever go there again.
Yeah. Do you miss it?
Yeah.
Do you miss that stuff?
Yeah. I love the hands-on stuff. I really like it. But as for now, we'll carry on this way. Whether I end up doing more of that when I'm, you know, in time for personal pleasure, sure. But this satisfies me. Starting a company is creative. Everyone seems to think starting a company isn't creative. I'm like, it's the most creative thing you could possibly do because the learning curve is so steep. There's so many ways that, like doing the whole brand and, you know, and the messaging and everything, like that's absolute creative.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because I will say that for a company like yours, you have such a strong brand persona in terms of a sense of the emotional underpinnings of your company, not just the technical specifications, but the emotional foundation of the company, you know, even down to your little bear logo who's waving at you. The fact that the company's name is Bonjoro, which is kind of like French bonjour, Italian buongiorno, undoubtedly other languages I don't even come close to speaking. It's a way of saying hello in a very personable way. The fact that even on your LinkedIn page, your little avatar profile photo is you wearing that big pajama bear suit with the logo prominently stitched on the front of it. All of these things are projecting, or what I would say demonstrating, not only your Bonjoro brand, but Matt's personal brand. And again, is there any separation between the two? If I asked you how much of the Bonjoro bear is you, what percentage would you assign to that?
Initially, probably 80%. Now, maybe 50. So the difference is that we have a team now. So we can't have 15 people, but the team all have their bear suits too. So when you start a company, even if you're not brand focused, the initial culture you will have is driven by the founding team. Because when there's three of you in a room, you do things in a certain way and you talk in a certain way and then off you go. I think the hard thing is to keep that culture as you grow or to decide to change it as you grow, which might be something that you want to do as well. You know, we've made some mistakes on hiring. We've done some good stuff on hiring around culture. I think we've got much better at it. And so now when I look at our culture, it's definitely something that's shared by the team. And the goal here, by the way, is not to build a personal brand. I actually don't want to be the company brand because if I get hit by a bus, then that's a danger to a company, I think. You know, I wouldn't say I have the ego to do the personal brand thing enough. So, you know, you'll find me here talking, but like Ollie, who runs marketing out of the UK, he's been doing a lot of like non-profit podcasts. Casey's even jumped on some as well because of his background, his experience. You know, we all get out of there. So I think maybe someone who's done this well, I think HubSpot's done a pretty good job on this front, whereby it's not so much the CEO or the founder, it's the kind of like the founding team. So it's like the CMO is pretty well known, but then the head of CS is pretty well known, and the head of sales is pretty well known. It's like all of them as a group all get on board, but they all talk about the same kind of message. So again, great cultural alignment. But I think ultimately, if one of them disappeared or something happened, HubSpot would go on just fine. And like Bonjour should be the same way. I think most companies should be the same way. If it's not tied to the personal, it is a far safer and stronger brand for the future. And also, it's a kind of culture I like to build. Like it's not all about me at all. That's not the point.
But, and I agree with you, but I will say it was your brand DNA that now has created a culture where the culture demands that you absorb a certain amount of that brand DNA and project it forward. I mean, yeah, could there be a day where Matt is not involved with this company? Absolutely. But it would lose its soul were it to change the culture that you've created based on your personal brand. And I understand what you're saying is I don't want to be the Australian Gary V out there and doing all that stuff. Well, I'm here to tell everybody, and we talk about this a lot on this podcast, that not everyone has to be an Instagram influencer to be a personal brand. Not everyone has to be on video 24/7 like Casey Neistat or Gary V to be a personal brand. You can be the personal brand that is you by simply demonstrating who you are, what you do, and how you do it in a consistent, strategic way. Like if you follow me on anything on social media, I'll talk about my dogs a little bit because they're part of my kind of collaboration. I call them collaborators because, you know, they're part of my brand. But I'm not out there trying to become some type of Instagram influencer. But I am out there to get credit for what I do, how I do it, and who I am as an individual. And I want to ask you this question because on your LinkedIn about, if you go to Matthew Barnett on LinkedIn, look up Papa Bear or Matthew Barnett and look for the guy in the bear suit, you'll see the about section has a very simple line. It says, "My love of building great products is surpassed by that of building great culture." That to me is a pretty strong statement. It's a very pithy statement, but I think based on what I've seen and what we've talked about, it's a very true statement. Because you want the culture to go on, you know, whether you're involved in the day-to-day or not. So I have to ask you, when you interview someone to add to your team, are you kind of putting them through the filter of, do they fit the Bonjour Bear costume, you know, or the pajamas? Do they project a sense of fun, but with a serious chaser in terms that this isn't just fun for fun's sake, it's fun for creating business success sake?
Yeah.
Do you put them through that kind of filter?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and I don't think we've always got to survive, by the way. Like, I think culture's hard. I think as you start, like, so we start a company, you're like, okay, survival's number one. And then as you start to grow, you're like, oh, yeah, this is the thing. I think, again, you naturally have it at the beginning. You almost hit a point where that brand gets and that culture gets challenged. And you can hire people who can knock your culture off course quite easily. You know, if you're 10 people, and there's one person who's definitely not a cultural fit, they won't have a huge impact. So I think, yeah, this is something you really need to pay attention to. We hire culture first. We tend to talk to people before we look at their kind of their skill set, if you like. So depending how people approach us, we'll have a big impact on whether we interview or not. We are still a very smart team. We're a very, very hardworking, kind of driven team, but we're also very much a relaxed team, like values around family first, this kind of thing as well. I don't really care too much about CVs or like, I don't really care what university you've been to or what school. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't particularly care about where you've worked. If you could do your job, it doesn't really matter to me. But what I do care about is, do you fit our culture? Will you fit with us? It's not to say if you're a good person or not, because there's amazing people who are just not right for our culture. Absolutely. So it's just a case of, will you fit our team? But then like having a distributed team. So we're across 6 countries and like 5 continents. And we're only 15. So we've kind of gone distributed pretty hard. The awesome thing is that we can find people who fit with us, I'd say pretty easily, because that pool of resources is so big. That potential pool is massive. You know, quite a lot of people have joined us because we've met them through other means, you know, and like many founders, I have a list of probably like 100 people where I'm like, at the right time, you would be great for this company and you would fit with us perfectly. I have no idea how good they are at their jobs, but I've met them and been like, you seem like the kind of person who would fit in. If this position comes available as we grow, and obviously as you grow a company, you'll get more and more positions, you know, you'll start to get more specialists. I'm like, at that point, one of my team will interview you on the skill set side, but I know that you've already passed that first bar, which is, you know, do you fit the company? So I will put you forward. Yeah, so culture first, personality first, skill set second. Always interview with that in mind. Like, if you look at resources on hiring for culture, like, there's a ton out there, the kind of questions you want to ask. I think probably the one takeaway here, which is useful, I think, is understand your values before you start doing hiring. And these values are not, it's not stuff you put on a website to make your customers think you're amazing. So you do not have to publish these. I think really understand what it is that you guys care about, that your team cares about, like, you know, your founding team. And they don't have to be pretty, you know, they don't have to be public, but just understand what it is and be brutally honest. What is it that you guys care about? What is it that makes you you? And then hire people to those. And, you know, again, like, these don't have to be like the kind of things you would hang on your wall and, you know, and expect the whole world to follow. It's not about that. It's about your team and your culture.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started. Well, I can't agree with you more. And I love your answer because it's totally in agreement with my point of view. As a creative director, I never looked at resumes. I always looked at someone's portfolio of work. And then I would simply ask them, okay, every piece of work within your portfolio was created collaboratively with other people. Tell me about your role in this piece. And if they said, oh, I did that all myself, I'd look at them, okay, tell me why you did it that way. And they might say, well, it's a spec piece. I did it to try to get a job, you know, and so I did it all myself. Okay, good answer, good answer. But if someone said, well, you know, the headline was my partner's idea, but I took it here. That's what I love to hear. Someone who admits that the seed of the idea was planted someplace else, but I cultivated it to a better, higher level. Then you can tell that someone's a really good team player, especially in the collaboration space. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, of those 100 people that you've identified already as potential new Bonjoro hires, how did you get to know them? Were they just people you met out and about, or was it people you've been exposed to online via social or stuff like that, or at conferences? How did those 100 people get and keep your attention to the point that you're actually going, boy, I'd love to have you here?
All that stuff. All right, so it's no different to when, like, as you get older, it gets harder to make friends, you know, to make good friends, because you probably have a lot of things that you can't live to, but you may make a good friend once every couple of years. I think there's obviously a lower bar to have someone to work with, because you don't hang around all the time. But, you know, one of the things is that we are actually quite a good friendship group in the company as well. Like, we'll do stuff out of the company quite a lot. So identifying people who I think will fit with us is easy, but they will come from all walks of life. So for example, my head of marketing, who's also like runs our UK office, Ollie, is a guy I went to school with when I was 4 years old. Now, I hadn't talked to Ollie since I was 11 years old until maybe 29, I think. So we hadn't talked for near on 20 years. At the time, I saw that he was starting a company through Facebook. And I just reached out and said, look, I see you starting a company. This is awesome. Like, I'm running a company here in Australia. I ended up mentoring him a bit. His company didn't work out. And when it didn't work out, I was like, do you want a job? Because we're looking for someone in the UK. And we just assumed it. Like, it's like, I think I ever offered him a job. He was just like, so I'm working for you now, aren't I? And I'm like, yep. And then we just started going. And so I think because I'd known him as a kid, I absolutely knew what kind of person he was. Because the person you are at 7 is the person you are as an adult. Yeah. So I knew without, like, absolutely he was a right fit, like, absolutely could trust him, like, great worker, like he's amazing. So that was taken off the plate. Then it was a case of, could he do his job? Well, I'd just seen that by all the mentoring and saw how he worked. But again, this is just someone that, you know, I've met people at conferences. I've met people through customers, you know, like, I meet people through customers and be like, you're awesome. Like, you know, we want you at some point. And it's not to say I'll go and poach them, you know, but like over the years it takes to build a business, people move around. And when they move around, they inevitably come knocking if they feel the same way. So like often it's mutual. Look, and you can't hire everyone, you know, at some point we're like, okay, we need a head of CS. That's not on day one. At some point we'll need a head of you know, inside sales, but that's absolutely not on day one. You know, we'll need a CFO at some point, but we're not there yet. So as and when these things happen, if you're prepared and you have this wealth of people that you've been keeping your eye on, you can build a company faster, you can build it better. And you're not being reactive. You're not saying, oh, you know, we need to find someone tomorrow. Let's go interview five people and just give one a job.
But the whole point is these people raise their profile enough with you to make that connection. And then, you know, you've got that list of people. And I'm like you. I keep an eye on people and go, yeah, one of these days, I hope we can work together. And, you know, the stars don't often align, but when they do, it's like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because when you find someone who meets your personal brand criteria, I mean, that might be a little too technical or business sounding, but call it your personal value criteria. You know, you got to cherish those people and you got to pay attention to them. But I am telling you that a lot of people are not taking advantage of the power tools out there to keep and grow and nurture those relationships the way that tools like Bonjoro can help you do it. And, you know, obviously I'm talking to Matt here, Matt Barnett of Bonjoro.com, a great tool that you got to check out. Go to Bonjoro.com and check out the free, subscription, I guess. You can start an account for free with Bonjoro and try their really cool video service for putting out one-to-one videos via email that, from what I hear, have tremendous engagement potential for just about anybody in any industry. Like, one of my favorite things to do when I do presentations is try to pick the most boring profession possible and point out how you can become the king or queen of that boring profession simply by doing some of the best practices that other people are using in less boring things. Like, for the longest time, I used plumbers, which here in the United States are the guys who hook up water lines and all that stuff. I don't know what you call them down under.
We call them plumbers.
But I've always used plumbers as kind of the placeholder for insert boring job here, you know, or not boring. I don't want to insult plumbers, but I just want to say insert prosaic job here. And then I found a guy just at Social Media Marketing World this past year who is the king of plumbers on YouTube. And he started it just 3 years ago by getting out there and answering people's questions and then going where the market kind of led him. So now he's more of a B2C plumbing professional, plumbing expert. He teaches plumbers how to be better plumbers, how to be more successful plumbers, how to not worry about getting paid for doing their plumbing services. And wow, he's put himself out there using the tools at his disposal. I'm not sure he's using Bonjoro, but I'm sure when I talk to him on this podcast, I'm going to mention it to him if he's not using it already, because it's that type of one-to-one personal connection that I think is so very cool. Again, for people who didn't listen to last week's episode, can you give us a quick run through on how Bonjoro works to create one-to-one video via email?
So anything that you're using to track your customers, say a MailChimp, a Salesforce, an ActiveCampaign, even something like a Shopify or a Patreon, we just plug in this layer. And then at certain points on the customer journey, so leads to the customers, to the long-time customers, we'll just ping you a notification and say, hey, this is a great time to send a message to Jenny, who lives in Orlando and works with XYZ. So take your plumbing example. When new inquiry comes in, we ping your phone and just say, hey, press this button. You're going to record a quick message for Tim, who's just sent an inquiry. Here's his inquiry. And you're literally there working on a job. And you're like, hey, Tim, my name's Mike. I run whatever, Plumbing Inc. I'm just doing a job right now, but you know, let me know. I've seen your quote. This is XYZ. I'll get back to you later on and give you a proper cost for that. Now, when you get that off a plumber, you're like, yeah, and you see that, you're like, this is amazing. You know, like wow. Like all the other plumber quotes are coming late, you know, whatever else, you know, I don't know who they are. This guy, he's obviously on the job. He looks super trustworthy. He's got back to me really quickly. The fact he's done that probably means that he's, you know, that carries across to his work. So I believe he's going to be good at what he does. I believe he's trustworthy. I'll go and pick him. And that's the guy I work with, or the girl. So again, look, just getting yourself to the front of the transaction, or getting yourself into the transaction. So a customer can see you, can understand you, and they can trust you, goes a huge way towards, you know, converting leads, but also delighting your existing client base and keeping them much, much longer for life, hopefully.
Hey, nonfiction branders. Did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Handley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way. Yeah, and as Matt mentioned last week, the best way to experience Bonjoro is to go to bonjoro.com, B-O-N-J-O-R-O.com, and sign up for a free trial, and you can actually have a free account forever. I mean, literally, it says for newbies and light users, free forever. 50 videos per month. There will be some Bonjoro branding on the video. And then you can do a custom workflow to see how it could work for you. Like if you're using a HubSpot or a MailChimp or something like that, you got to try it, because once you see how it works, I think you'll want to figure out ways to bring it into the way you do business. I mean, if for no other reason, do it so that you can send your mother a Bonjoro video via email and just gauge her response on what she feels like when she got that video from you. I think you'll be pretty impressed. Again, that's bonjoro.com, B-O-N-J-O-R-O.com, and sign up. It's free. So what are you waiting for?
So if you sign up, if you want to experience it, you'll receive a video from one of the team. So sign up, wait 24 hours, you'll receive one, see how it makes you feel, and you'll kind of, I think the penny might drop at that point.
You got to try it, because if you're looking for ways to distinguish yourself out there in a world of sameness where your competitors are just like you, make sure they aren't just like you by being yourself, which is, you know, a core tenet of personal branding. Demonstrate who you are, what you do, and how you do it. What better way to do that than via video? Because as you said, our kind of our fictional plumber there, if you come on that plumbing thing and you're wearing a nice branded shirt and you're clean and well-kept, you've got a leg up on most of your competition. But if you can demonstrate who you are, what you do, and how you do it, you're well on your way to creating a really valuable personal brand, which is the same thing as your small business brand. How many times can I say that? Well, I can say it enough to make you drink. And the other thing is, we have a kind of a drinking game here on Nonfiction Brand Podcast. And that is, whenever I say this phrase, you got to tip that tipple, if you will. And that phrase is, know who you are so you can be it. So Matt, just like you said, you had to know the values of your company so that you could hire the right people to reflect those values, not only reflect, but nurture and grow and continue that culture that grows from that. One of the other things I always say, and actually you can get the t-shirt on Amazon.com, brands say, cultures do. Brands say what they are, but it's up to the culture to actually do what the brands say they are. So, Bonjoro, if you're not interested in the video portion of what they do, check out the way they do what they do, because you could go to school on the way that they've created this B2B product that feels like B2C fun and yet has a very powerful back end on it as well. Go to school on Bonjoro, and I think it's worth the price of admission, which can be free. Thank you so much, Matt, for being on this podcast. I really appreciate it. How can people follow you if they're interested in getting in touch with you?
Yeah, so the best way to get me personally is on LinkedIn. So if you just search for Papa Bear, you'll find me. I'm one of the few there. I'm the guy in the bear, bear suits. Reach out in person. I will get back to you, surprisingly, so do not be scared. I had a lot of help getting to where I am, so it's enjoyable to pass that on and help others where I can do. So reach out, personally connect, and happy to help.
Yeah, but it's the magic of apps like Zoom here, you know, having a great conversation with a guy on the other side of the world. And guess what? We're practicing the best kind of social distancing, having a great conversation, but sharing absolutely no biological material.
Look, this is how you stay sane. More of this. This is great.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Well, I really appreciate it. And thank you so much. And
thanks, DP. It's been great.
Well, there you go. Once again, for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, I'm DP Knuton, and he is
Matt Barnett, Papa Bear, at Bonjoro.
Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.